It's Thursday, September 17th, 2015, and you're listening to Last Time on Video Games, the show about retro video games and sometimes some other stuff. You're listening to episode 119. This game is so bad, we didn't even mention Dracula. Runtime for this episode is 39 minutes. Hello, and welcome to Last Time on Video Games, the podcast that didn't have a joke prepared because Simon Belmont is serious and not a surfer dude. What the f*** was Captain N doing? My name is Jeremy.
I was going to go for something about whipping it in Devo. I'm Tyler.
Looks a lot different in green and white.
Yeah, that is true.
Green and slightly darker green.
It doesn't look that different to me, to be honest, but I forget manga isn't in color sometimes when I read it because I just like kind of project it on there.
Wow, that's actually got, yeah. Now, the color adds a lot to me, or a lot for me when I read manga.
I've had moments where I forgot I was reading something.
Yeah, that has definitely happened.
Not necessarily in manga specifically.
But like just an actual book?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've definitely done that. Actually, I did that with Dresden a couple times, because like that has such a movie-like quality to me. I kind of
Jim Butcher does a really good job with that.
Weirdly, all the Dresden books are, I've done audiobooks, so it's always James Marsters saying what Harry Dresden is doing, which you'd think would do that more because he goes voices and stuff. But anyway, we have no time for that.
We don't?
No. Tyler, what have you been playing?
All sorts of things, and by that I mean mostly Payday, but I also started playing another... God damn it, I forgot what the game was. Oh, Splatoon. Right.
Yeah, you asked me to play that with you, and I ignored your text because I'm a bad friend.
Yeah, that's okay. I just figured you were, like, busy or didn't care. One or the other.
I was busy. And I still haven't bought Splatoon, so I was like, oh, I could buy that. That's a good excuse. But then I didn't do it.
The new updates have added a lot to it. There was a level cap at 20 that everyone reached within, like, 5 hours. So they added a new leveling system for past 20 that goes up to, like, 50 that unlocks a bunch of different types of weapons. A lot of them are just really highly specialized, so they're not necessarily better. They're just really weird behaviors.
So they're yoinking the mechanic from Call of Duty 4.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. It's a good mechanic. So
all right. I was just clarifying.
Yeah, no, pretty much exactly that. They also added a bunch of game modes to ranked matches, and they also added a team, like, squad building for ranked matches.
I knew that was coming.
So you can either say, someone on your friends list, I want to play matches with these people. Or you can say, hey, you and I have been at a bunch of matches together. Let's join a temporary squad and just continue playing matches on the same team together.
That's good stuff.
Yeah, it's actually pretty nice. So you can say, hey, I recognize that you didn't suck in that last match. Do you want to not suck together? Which can actually be really fun when you say, or when you take one of your opponents in the last match and make him your ally in the next one. So we went raffle stomping with that a couple times.
And then for some reason, they become a lot weaker when they're on your team.
Yeah, actually they do, but, you know, that's because they don't have me to kill all the time. they have to play against competent people. Actually, I usually top my team.
Just wait, eventually I'll get a Wii U, and I'll play with you and knock you down a peg.
That would be nice, actually.
Yeah, and I would get, and we could be the fearful foursome.
That would actually be pretty awesome, because I feel like a four-man team could coordinate just so well. But they added a game mode where it's like Deliver the Bomb is what I know it as.
So it's
from
a soul.
TF2. Not ringing any bells.
One team has a bomb, the other team has a location you're supposed to put it in?
Kind of, except both teams have access to the bomb, and both teams have a delivery spot.
So kind of like
neutral
single
bomb.
Flag?
Yeah, it's like single... It's reverse capture the flag.
Neutral bomb.
Plant the flag.
It's actually a game mode from Halo 3.
I feel like Counter-Strike had this.
Counter-Strike,
I don't know if Counter-Strike
had
it
first, I would bet.
I don't know if Counter-Strike had it, because it was all terrorists versus counter-terrorists, and there was never really...
Counter-Strike does tend to be one-sided, and by one-sided, I mean...
One side's defense.
Yeah.
Because the CTs are always defending bomb sites, and the terrorists are always defending hostages.
And it might have been a mod that I was thinking of. More of the story, this game mode has a lot of different names, and this one is Rainmaker. What makes it interesting is that it starts out neutral, but there's a shield, and whichever team overpowers it with ink causes an explosion in their color of ink, killing anyone in the immediate radius.
Okay.
But then either
including friendlies?
No. That's why I said on the opposing team in the immediate radius.
That's why you may have said that, and I'll find out when I edit.
That's true. That's what I meant to say at any rate. But then either team can pick up the Rainmaker afterwards, but the Rainmaker itself serves as a weapon. Kind of a fuel rod cannon, actually. It's absurdly powerful. And fires extremely slowly.
So it sounds more like a rocket launcher, because the fuel rod cannon's kind of wimpy.
Oh, is it? Don't you have to, like, charge it? No, no, Spartan Laser.
Spartan Laser is much more powerful.
That's the one I'm thinking of, where you have to, like, charge it up, and then you fire, like, once every 5 seconds or something
like
that.
Yeah, it takes a while.
So then your team has to cover you, because not only do you move more slowly, you have a lot less firepower, because you fire so much more slowly.
But you do hideous amounts of damage to anything you actually happen to hit.
If you can manage to hit something with it, it dies, but they so also have the territories, which is just king of the hill, basically. You just mark a territory with your ink, and whoever has or holds them for a time period wins. The other one is, like, moving towers. So it's kind of like a tower defense, where you're, like, trying to prevent the enemy from getting to a point behind all your towers. But if you occupy your towers, it moves your towers forward. So you move your point of defense further towards their base. So there's, like, a bunch of things where you try to, like, storm the opponent's tower and kill people out from under it. It ends up being interesting. I've not really ever seen anything like that.
That sounds different. When you initially started talking, I thought you were talking about a crazy king mode.
That's where the hill moves, right?
Yeah, king of the hill where the hill moves around.
No. Although I do like that game mode. Now this is more like each side has siege towers that they can move forward.
That's weird.
Yeah, I haven't actually gotten to play that one, and this is going only off of Ed's description, so it may be nothing like how I've described it.
Anything besides splatting and tuning?
Yeah, I mean, Payday, clearly. Cha.
Duh.
Yeah, I finished my second Zero challenge in Smash, so...
Ah, congratulations.
Yeah. Maybe I should try to pick up some more ludicrous challenges or something.
Like, you have to do a Zero challenge, like, listening to Ludicrous the entire time?
Oh, God.
That's not a challenge, it's torture.
I feel like Ludicrous probably has a good song. I don't know that I've ever heard a Ludicrous song.
Yeah, I don't know that I know any songs by him.
Ludicrous challenge would be to complete the Zero challenge without ever jumping.
Oh, God. Okay, so the Smash Bros. Subreddit does a thing every once in a while called Truth or Dare, which is spelled as dare. Yeah. Anyway,
yeah, I know.
Yeah, I was explaining it to Zach because he was giving me this look.
I guess. I don't know what dare is supposed to
down
mean.
Down air. It's your down aerial. A move while you're in the air.
Where they basically just propose bizarre scenarios. Some of them are like win a match in 4 Glory using only Roy's neutral B. And so, bonus points if you actually get the instant kill hit. Some guy posted a video of him doing it, and he's just like standing on the edge, and a Little Mac player runs up to him and counters, and then the counter expires, and he counters again, and then the counter expires, and right as the second one expires, the fully charged blast goes off. And then the second one, he just like accidentally does his side B and jumps off the edge and dies. He's like, do I get my bonus points now? So they do just really silly things like that are almost always impossible, but inevitably someone accidentally pulls it off. So yeah, no, that was pretty much it. Some Splatoon and lots of Smash and a fair amount of Payday.
All right, Zach, what have you been playing?
League of Legends.
Which Legends? Odin?
No, in this case it was Gangplank.
So Cloud9 Law?
Yeah, Cloud9 Law, man. Cloud9 ran the gauntlet.
Cloud9 goes from 7th best team in NA to in the world championship because North America is terrible.
What?
Here's how it went. The way League of Legends has their world set up right now is the winner of the summer split goes, the person with the most overall championship points between summer and spring goes, and then the winner of a gauntlet that is comprised of the 4 teams with the most points. Cloud9 ended up going...
They were at the bottom of the gauntlet, and they ran it.
9-7.
With 2 reverse sweeps.
Or 9-5 with 2 reverse sweeps in there.
What is a reverse?
You go 0-2 in a best of 5, and then win.
Oh, okay. Wow. Man, that's impressive.
2 in a row.
Their jungler is a mid laner whose wrists don't work.
And wasn't that great of a mid laner to begin with.
Wait, what do we mean his wrists don't work?
He retired
from League of Legends so his wrists could heal.
Because
he couldn't play solo queue because he hurt his wrists too much.
Wow, man. Damn tinnitus.
Yeah.
That's not tinnitus, never mind. Carpal tunnel is what I was going for there.
So yeah, LOL Cloud9. Anyway.
I actually had a game where I was playing Gangplank, who's a pirate, in a game, and my bottom lane got completely demolished and wanted to surrender a couple times, but me and the mid laner...
refused to let him.
Well, pretty much. It was one of those situations of, well, these two lanes are going to basically outscale their opponents. And we buckled down and were winning some fights and we got going. And then the enemy team went for Baron, which is the big objective on the map. And I went, all right, I'm going to fire my global ulti because I know they're over there and just hope I can time it right with my big damage spike.
What's his ultimate?
He calls in a barrage of cannons. It's literally called Cannon Barrage, and he can do it on anywhere in the map.
Okay, so if you happen to know someone's in a location, you can, like, provide covering fire
there?
Well,
I actually used it to get a kill earlier on in the game because the enemy top laner was really low on health, and he teleported up to catch a wave. And I used my ultimate and killed him from bottom lane where I was.
Nice.
Which is pretty funny. But I was like, well, they're doing Baron. I tried to time it. And I tried to time one earlier to steal Dragon from them. And I didn't get the Baron with the initial damage burst. But they stayed on it during my ultimate. And as I'm like, oh, crap, I screwed that up. I didn't get it. And I'm trying to get some farm down to hopefully run back and help defend afterwards. It pops up on the side of the screen. And it's like, shows Gangplank's icon and then Baron's icon. And basically like, Gangplank has secured the Baron.
How?
Huh? How? Wait, what? Yay? cool? How'd I do that? My assumption is that their jungler with his smite wasn't actually doing the Baron with them at the time. And so they bursted it down so that a wave of the cannonballs actually ended up killing it. But the thing that really secured it for us was that my team won the fight immediately after. The other funny thing was I killed their mid laner from like half health with one shot.
Nice.
I got a massive crit on a barrel, which is one of the abilities that he has, that blew up and basically just killed him.
Yeah, new Gangplanks throws red barrels onto the map and then shoots them.
And they That's can... actually kind of awesome. I think I remember hearing about that.
It's actually really cool. It's really hard to land it on people if they're not
idiots,
blind, deaf, and dumb. But if you can land it, it is insanely strong, especially later on in the game when you build some crit. But you're pretty squishy, too.
Anything else, Zach?
Not really. Just had that one really, really good game on Gangplank, which made me really, really happy. What about you? What have you been doing?
More Arkham Knight. I didn't manage to beat it before my brother fled the state. I don't know if I have more to say about it. I got to a point like now there are stealth Batman tank sections where there are big tanks that are too strong for you to fight. So you have to sneak up on them and shoot them in the back.
So it's exactly like the stealth portion
car?
Of
car? Yes.
Huh?
They don't have radar.
It's a rocket-powered car.
Rocket car!
But then you're not sneaking.
Man, I don't know.
So I got. Have you ever seen that GIF circulating of like one of the old Looney Tunes cartoons of like a dog or a cat or something in like a jalopy? And he like presses a button and it like starts going. It's usually captioned like swiggity swooty.
No, I've not seen this.
I just got an impression of like the Batmobile like getting up on its wheels and like tiptoeing forward.
So, usually the best strategy is to go into car mode and like just drive far away and then rocket up to them. And then just go into tank mode and be behind them for a few seconds to target lock.
That sounds kind of tedious, honestly.
It's better than just straight tank combat, but it's not great. It's weird to me that they decided they needed stealth and combat and racing for the car.
The car is clearly the main character of this game.
Yeah. The story is, it's not better, but I kind of get where they're going.
Is that a good thing that you get where they're going?
Eh, I've teamed up with Nightwing and I'm teaming up with Robin now, so that's cool.
Oh, that's actually kind of cool. Are they actually, like, doing stuff gameplay-wise?
Yeah, this is the one thing about Arkham Knight that excited me going in, so I assumed you knew. There's, like, a team-up mechanic now where you can have an ally in battle, and there's a, like, team takedown where you will automatically take someone down and switch characters.
Oh, that's
so actually
kind of cool.
Play as a different character than Batman?
Yeah. Basically, the controls are the same for everyone, but there's Nightwing, Catwoman, and Robin you can all do that with, as far as I know.
That's so cool that they give you an ally in combat. That's something new for the series.
Yeah. I wish it played a little better, but it's not bad.
Batmobile isn't one of the available ones?
No, no, that's just a context takedown. If the Batmobile is around, Batman can throw people in the air to be shot by Batmobile bullets. Which I guess are made out of rubber.
Seriously?
Or magic? Yes.
I was being sarcastic.
I know you were, but they weren't, because they love that goddamn Batmobile so much.
Oh, man. That's
I really want to tag out to the Batmobile, though, and just have the Batmobile, like, body slam things.
So many
in combat, it's actually got the combat
stance.
There
have been so many times there have been sentry guns pinning me down, and you have to remote control the Batmobile to your location to shoot the sentry guns so you can go do Batman things.
Like, that trick is good once, right?
Yeah.
Maybe twice.
My biggest problem with it is a lot of the times I'll be like, oh, that's what I need to do, but I'll do it too early, and then so I'm like, oh, I guess I need to try something else. I'm like, no, that's what I needed to do. The game just hadn't decided it was time for me to do that yet.
Well, like, one of the things we praised Mega Man for was, like, having a bunch of different challenges, and then it doesn't make you repeat them until the very end of the game, where you had to, like, run a gauntlet of them. I just hate doing the same thing over and over and over again.
Yeah.
But if that thing is sufficiently entertaining, I don't mind doing it.
That's true. For example, I enjoyed being Steefy McStab in the back pants in Skyrim for 140 hours, so.
Also, there are a bunch of dumb minigames that they don't explain to you.
Sweet!
There's one for a side quest. You have to figure out how to cure Man-Bat. And I don't even know how to explain this side quest.
How is that a minigame?
That sounds like a plot of a full game.
Making the cure is the minigame. You have like these two DNA strands and you have to like flip them so the good DNA is going into the cure and the bad DNA isn't.
I got man DNA over here and bat DNA over here.
Then Harley Quinn sneaks into your bat cave and takes it over because that's a thing she can do, right? And she changes your voice recognition software, so there's a mini game to change your voice modulator to sound like Harley Quinn, which then has cool gameplay stuff afterwards, because you can, like, have in Harley's voice tell goons to go do something.
That's actually kind of fun.
But
that's at least interesting, but why is that a necessary part of the game?
Also, you remember in Arkham Origins how the one good thing was the detective mode?
Yeah.
They have a cool scene with that in the beginning, but ever since then, all of it has been, like, CSI, here are four security cameras. You can rotate forward to move the footage forward and rotate back to move it back. And the gameplay is you have to find the important movement and zoom enhance, and then look at it.
You know what game does that?
Yay.
Phoenix Wright. You know how many times it does it? Once.
This
in the entire damn series.
Oh.
So I actually kind of liked the detective mode. My problem was, like, as soon as I saw where the clues were going, Batman's like, and now I'm going to deduce this instead of letting the player do it because I'm the Batman.
Yeah, this one's better about it. The one, like, detective mode scene it has is a car crash, where you're trying to figure out what went on, and so there's a lot of, like, stuff where you can see, like, bits flying off the car and different bits of evidence. It's kind of linear, but it's pretty interesting.
Have you guys played L.A. Noire?
No. Yeah, a little bit. I haven't finished it.
Oh. It's actually pretty good at that, especially in the later things you have to do. Speaking of detectives.
So then, also, I bought Persona 3, because I've been meaning to play it, and I have a PS3 right now.
Not Persona 4?
No. 3, then 4. Duh. And the people I listen to say 3 is better, like everyone else in the world says 4 is better, but...
I haven't played either of them. I haven't played any of the Persona
games,
actually.
Which Persona 4 are you talking about?
The first one. But
the fact that that is a non-sarcastic comment.
Which Call of Duty 4?
There's only one.
Yeah, the other ones are Modern Warfare 2 and Modern Warfare 3.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Oh, it's... Anyway.
Modern Warfare 2, 4.
I always called it Call of Duty 4, 2. That's where you're probably getting that from.
And the stoners all called it Call of Duty 420. Anyway, but I was like, oh man, I should finish Bravely Default before I play this, because that was the last RPG I was playing. And then I put Yu-Gi-Oh! 2009 in my 3DS, played some of that.
Some of these things are not like the others, dude.
I was stuck on it because I was at the stealth portion, and imagine how bad the stealth portion of a 2009 Yu-Gi-Oh! Game no one cared about was.
What,
and it,
stealth?
There's a stealth portion where you've been captured by the government and they stole your motorcycle and your deck, so you have to sneak past the guards to get your deck and motorcycle back.
What?
I forgot about card games on motorcycles.
So I got through that and been playing some Yu-Gi-Oh! And then I looked up the new Yu-Gi-Oh! Rules since that game came out, and I'm trying to figure out how pendulum monsters work and can't.
What?
Pendulum. I can't explain pendulum monsters. They're also spell cards, and if you have two of them on opposite sides of the map, you can summon as many monsters as you want between them.
Wow.
Or something.
Okay, that sounds pretty ridiculous.
Yu-Gi-Oh! Has had a lot of power creep. Even the 2009 one had so much power creep from the last time I played a Yu-Gi-Oh! Game that it took adjusting to.
Speaking of Yu-Gi-Oh! Yu-Gi-Oh! Bridge, and speaking of Yu-Gi-Oh! Bridge, DBZ Bridge, and speaking of DBZ Bridge, the Team Four Star is doing a FF7 machinima.
Yeah, I saw that the first episode was out. I hadn't watched it yet.
So, it looks pretty good. I watched the trailer for it.
I did not like the trailer for it.
Really?
I'm hoping the actual series is better.
Yeah, Cody and Kevin showed me the trailer a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, I was not impressed by the trailer.
It was okay. It's better than a lot of comedy shows I've seen.
Well, yes, but I have standards for Team Four Star because Dragon Ball Z Abridge is actually really good.
That is true. Although it takes them for goddamn ever to come out with an episode anymore. So
I think that's all I've been playing. I have a Sweet Dark Magician deck. It's not very good, actually, but...
It's sweet. Because Dark Magician is like one of the few recognizable characters.
I want a Blue Eyes deck, but I don't have the cards for it.
I always have a Total Defense Shogun deck.
That would probably not work in this game just because of the power creep, but Total Defense Shogun's pretty cool. Also, I have no idea where you would get him in this game, because it's all the cards between 2002 and 2009, which is so many cards. I'm sad that I can't get a 2014, because they started making them on PSP and not releasing them in America, because PSP... after about 2011.
Oh, yeah, I remember the other thing I was going to mention. I found out that November was going to really suck for me. Then I found out that it was going to be much easier than I thought it was going to be. Because Fallout 4 comes out in November.
Oh, man.
So does the new Star Fox on Wii U.
What? That's a game?
The other thing that I found out was supposed to release in November ended up getting pushed back to February of next year, which was XCOM 2.
Ah, yeah. Actually, Ed was talking to me about that last night. He was under the impression it's still coming back in coming out in November.
Well, Steam says February 5th next year.
That may just be PC, though.
Yeah, it could be. I don't own a console that I could play it on.
It's probably coming out before the Arkham Knight patch for PC.
Probably.
Zing.
But it
looks amazing. XCOM 2 does. I can hardly wait.
I just had to play XCOM.
Speaking of amazing, this week we played a game that's amazingly bad.
Especially compared to its predecessor.
Yeah, Castlevania Adventure for El Game Boy.
I really just want that to be like a cheap knockoff Game Boy.
El Game Boy.
The only games on it are Gundam games that have been poorly translated into Spanish and changed all the character names.
El Juego Nino.
And, you know, an El Santo platformer. That actually sounds great. I need to play Guacamelee. Anyway.
Guacamelee?
Yeah, it's a Metroidvania where you play as a luchador, and the like main mechanic is moving between the real world and the spirit world.
This sounds awesome.
Yeah.
How
everyone
have I never
liked
heard
it
of this?
It came out like 2 years ago.
Ah, that sounds pretty cool.
Sounds at least cooler than this game.
Yes. Yeah. So Castlevania is one of the highest games on our list. I think it's fifth now. It's a game I love. This is the immediate follow-up to it, and they took all the rules and completely forgot what made them good. And
so you know how Castlevania had like these well-designed levels and gave you like the exact tools you need to get through the level if only you use them at the right time? You know what this game did?
This game was Mario has falling platforms, right? Why don't we have some of those? Seems like a good idea.
Mario also has really tight jumps. They also have momentum, but let's ignore the momentum.
This game is so blisteringly awful. I don't know how anybody bought it.
Now,
blisteringly awful.
let's be fair to this game real quick. It's not a Game Boy launch title, but it did come out before the Game Boy in America. So it's very shortly after. So
that is not an excuse.
No, but that doesn't...
That is not
it's
a reason.
An explanation?
That is an excuse. It is an excuse. It is not a good one either.
Man, like, so let's compare this game to Castlevania. Health pickups are a lot more common, because hearts heal you now, like every other video game. They gave in to peer pressure.
Instead of giving you ammo, there is no ammo because you have no secondary weapons.
Which means you just have the whip, but you still have bats that are attacking you from all angles, which your whip can't deal with effectively.
There'll also be surprise bats. Like, Castlevania didn't really have surprise, like, they gave you enough time to react. The bats in this one will just appear at a mid, like, you're in the middle of a jump. You can't possibly have known they're going to be there, and then bat.
Part of it is infinitely respawning enemies. If they get off screen, they will respawn.
And Castlevania had that as well, but it was only specific enemies. So you knew, hey, this is a skeleton. If I take him out, we're set. Versus this is a Medusa head. If I take it out, I have to be ready for the next one. And whereas Castlevania would create challenges by giving you things that seemed overwhelming, like, oh my god, I have to jump over this pit and dodge two Medusa heads? How am I supposed to do that? This game just gives you really, really awkward jumps that you have to be pixel perfect with the terrible jump controls from Castlevania that weren't built for platforming like this.
At the end of level one!
The first platforming challenge in this game is like a Mario style falling platform, but with Castlevania marital jump arcs.
So you can't change your momentum mid-jump. If you haven't heard us explain that before.
It's just a super awkward timing, too, because, like I said, it's at the end of level one. I could understand slowly easing you into, like, okay, you got to jump over this pit or jump across onto this thing so you don't fall down. But no, we go straight from no platforming to falling platform that falls really fast, too, by the way.
Yeah, it doesn't give you a lot of leeway, and you move really slowly.
You were going to die the first time on that because, you probably don't know what it is yet, and two, it drops like a rock.
I didn't.
Impressive.
So tutorializing, like giving you one of those over a place where you can walk back, would be a great idea. Too bad they didn't do that.
Like I said, I managed to not die, but I think it's because I got lucky on the first one. And then I knew about it, so I didn't die when I had to go back to it.
Yeah, I don't think I died on the first time.
I feel like
I
died three times on the first one, because the second time I'm like, oh, falling platforms, I'll have to deal with it. Not realizing I have to be inch up to like the very end so that I'll be close enough to make it.
I wouldn't have a problem with having platforming. But the fact is, you have to be in the exact right place.
And it's hard to tell where that is, because it looks like you should fall off the platform when you're in that exact right place. Your hitbox for ground isn't really where your character is.
You should never have an instance, especially with a... Did we mention this game's got a timer? So this game's got a timer.
Yeah.
And it seems like out of place, too, because like so long that I never really felt time pressure, but...
I didn't either, but it's trying to pressure you to go fast, but then when you get to the jumping parts, you have to spend so much time inching along the edge of the platform so you could hop to the next platform. And it's not a particularly long section, but it's not very short either.
And we've talked before about how Castlevania is all about being careful. Some of that is even preserved here, but a timer is just...
Well, it's not being careful because of, you know, this is what the series is about. This is being careful for the sake of we didn't actually manage to look at what made a good platformer and compare it to what we had. This game isn't built to be a platformer, really. And yet they wanted to...
Well, the problem is the level design is a platformer, but your mechanics are not. They're like, hey, you know what a great game was? Mario. Let's use our not Mario mechanics in a Mario level. And that's a bad idea.
Yeah, that's just a bad idea.
Although some of the NES Remix levels are fun, but that's kind of the point of them.
Yeah.
How would Link behave in this Mario level? But that's a weird novel thing that's been catered to you. This is just bad design.
I actually died due to the time limit once because I got to this portion where you have like these extremely precise, tiny platforms you had to jump over. But if you don't make the jump, you just fall down a hole and you have to start over again. And there's one of these where you get there or get to the end of like six of these, and then there are two falling platforms in a row. And there's a vat in there somewhere, although I got lucky and it stopped spawning after a while for some reason.
Also, the checkpoints are really unclear in this game, which isn't necessarily a problem, though that way in Super Mario Land 2 as well, not number 2. But like in the first Castlevania, whenever you got to a checkpoint, they weren't actually checkpoints, they were stages. You like went through a door and it had this, not loading screen, but this animation of going through that made you feel good. This, there's just nothing, so you don't know where you're going to be when you die.
Or at least like a Sonic style boing would be nice.
I think anytime you have a checkpoint in a game, there should be some kind of visual indicator that you have hit a checkpoint.
Yes,
I don't think it's bad design not to have it. I think it just feels good when you hit a checkpoint, and so giving you that release of endorphins.
I never said bad design. I said I think you should have a visual indicator, because that way it's that's like relief tension. Like, oh god, I got to that really hard part, and I got a checkpoint.
I think it is bad design, honestly, because you have no idea what's at stake if you die.
Again, Super Mario Land?
The last hour.
Exactly.
Super Mario Land fails you forward a lot of the times. You actually hit checkpoints before you reach where they're going to spawn on them, which is a little weird, but it's really cool when you die and you actually spawn a little ahead at like where you were looking.
That's actually poor design.
Yeah,
you should never fail
forward.
That's
poor programming, not poor design, I think. But
well, programming is part of design, isn't it?
But like it's...
Yeah.
It's like seeing the Oasis and falling unconscious and then waking up there, right? I think it's okay, because you're never skipping so far ahead that you're, like, a screen ahead, but you might be, like, half a screen to where
the next jump is. No, I just think you should never actually fail forward in anything. You should not be able to fail and move forward. They did not fail me in physics and let me continue. I had to complete physics, which I ended up just doing biology instead.
Well, Donald Trump failed business and is trying to land into the presidency.
He did not fail forward, though. People fail.
He also succeeded
in
business
people made
a couple times, so...
Yeah.
It's a wash.
He beat level 1, 2, and 4, but so we sent him to World 6.
He got the flute.
Do-do-do-do-do-do.
He got the warp pipes.
Do we have anything else to say about Castlevania? Because I don't think we do.
It's
not
really
very good.
Bad.
The end boss of the first one was a knight. The first level was a knight.
He's okay, but he's not easy, nor is he super interesting.
So if Jeremy got to the same place I did, I apparently fought him, and I don't even remember it. So
He punches up and punches down, and like the easiest thing is to like get on like the platform and jump over him. Maybe you didn't get as far as I did.
I don't remember fighting a boss.
I fought the boss, so...
I gave this game about 45 minutes and could not...
You must have done it, because I did it like half an hour.
Yeah, I did it in less than 45 minutes. I only played till one game over. Yeah,
I gave it two game overs, and man, it's just not a good game.
And you're better at these kind of games
than I am.
I
gave it two, and then I came back to it later. It's not a good game.
Either way, avoid this one. If you're going to play Castlevania 1, 2, or 3.
Or 4, or
Symphony
of the Night, or Castle of Ecclesia, or
play any of the other. Play
any
of
the other Xbox One. It's
Aria of Sorrow.
Play any of the other Castlevania games that we have played on this podcast.
Super Metroid. Go play Super Metroid.
All right. So we have a list of games on our website, www.lasttimeonvideogames.com. It's a list of all the games we've played in order from best to worst. We've almost got them all on the list, boys.
That's actually kind of exciting.
Episodes. At the top is Chrono Trigger.
Then we're going to have to find something else to pad our episodes out.
Yes,
I was going to talk about where the individual things that we're talking about on the episode go.
At the bottom is Space Harrier. It sucks. In the middle is Final Fantasy.
Final Fantasy is back being in the middle.
It is.
Yeah, it's a pretty middle.
It's not
going to
go
game.
Anywhere.
I mean, we have some bad ones to rank, so it might go up a little bit. First up, we have Baseball on the Game Boy.
Arguably worse than the original.
Yeah,
potential, but bad.
So worse than Baseball on the NES?
Yes.
I think so. I mean, it gave you, like, quasi-control over fielding mechanics, but I think
and
that
And somehow made
it
worse.
Yeah, I think that actually made it worse. Okay. So.
Worse than Bomberman 93.
Was that the TurboGrafx one?
Yeah. It had interesting maze mechanics, it had power-ups, it had fun multiplayer.
Oh, we're asking whether it's worse than that? Yes. Yes. Sorry.
Worse than Ghosts and Goblins. Yeah, I think so. Ghosts and Goblins has that challenge element. I would brag about beating Ghosts and Goblins if I did it.
I'd beat Baseball on the Game Boy, guys.
Never think I'm going to try. Worse than Double Dragon.
Double Dragon's
has that music
pretty
loop.
Bad.
But it has experience and you gain new moves.
It does have a lot more
a
variety.
A Bobo.
And you can actually get good at Double Dragon. You can only get lucky at Baseball. Yeah, I'd have to give it to Double Dragon.
Cruisin' USA. Do we think it's worse than Cruisin' USA?
I do. I actually kind of agree that I think it's worse than Cruisin' USA.
Okay. Better than Operation Wolf?
Yeah.
Operation Wolf at least would have potential if it was a light gun game.
Yeah. Unfortunately, the port didn't come with one, so.
I think it's worse than Operation Wolf.
I think it's better, but that's purely because we played it without a light gun.
I basically have no opinion, so.
But you have to choose.
Yeah, I know.
I have no opinion and I must choose by Harlan Ellison.
I honestly would have to give it Baseball on the NES.
So we do not have a new bottom of the list. Baseball is third from the bottom.
It's not worse than Space Harrier.
Above Operation Wolf and below Cruisin' USA.
It would just be a matter of, is it Space Harrier's new wingman?
I would actually like to take a public opinion poll and ask people what is worse than Space Harrier.
What do you people think is worse than Space Harrier so we don't have to play it?
Yeah. Well, no, I do want to play it so we can have something else that's worse than Space Harrier.
Superman 64? Except for I bought that game rented, so the first level was already beat.
Yeah.
That's the way to play Superman 64, guys.
Get someone else to beat the first level for you?
Yeah. Next, a game that Tyler and I rather liked. Zach didn't. I don't know where I think it goes.
Big shot.
Tyler said he was going to finish, and I doubt he did. Star Tropics.
Oh, yeah. No, I actually beat that game.
Oh, did you? What did you think? Give me a quick summation of the final version.
There were aliens. I mean, it went exactly where I thought it was going to go. It didn't really get any better, but nor did it get any worse. It was kind of more of the same.
It is significantly mediocre.
Yeah, it's pretty mediocre.
Mediocre seems too harsh. I wouldn't go so far as to say good, but
I mean,
it's interesting. It did a lot of stuff. The graphics are really good for the time.
Enemy design is actually pretty good, although it's hard to see at first.
Great, good, mediocre, bad Space Harrier.
Yeah, so if it's not quite good, then it's mediocre. Also, I like that Space Harrier is an adjective now. Oh, man, that game was so Space Harrier.
How do you think it compares to the original Legend of Zelda? I think I like Zelda more, but I can be swayed.
I prefer Zelda.
Yeah, I'm not sure I want to sway you. I feel like Star Tropics has more going on, but I feel like Zelda is just better implemented, which is saying a lot because I don't think it's terribly well implemented.
I would agree with that statement.
What about Castlevania 3? That's like the next platformer on the list.
I probably also had to give it to Castlevania 3, although by a slim margin.
Right below Castlevania 3 is Blaster Master, which has some Metroidvania-y elements.
I actually like Blaster Master fairly well.
So do I.
It has tanks and, like, overhead platforming. That's actually slightly worse than this overhead platforming.
Okay, another RPG-ish platformer. Only a few down is Castlevania 2.
I don't know.
I think it's probably better than Castlevania 2. No one's lying to you for no reason.
It's not a terrible night to have a curse.
Yeah, there's not that slowness.
It's mechanically more
sound. I think they're very comparable, but I think Star Tropics is a little better.
Yeah. I can agree with that.
I don't have a strong opinion
between the two, so.
Right above Castlevania 2 is Strider. Do we think it's... You didn't really play Strider, though, right?
I played, apparently, crappy Master System
Right above
Strider,
that is Shock Troopers. So how do you think it compares to Shock Troopers?
Slightly worse. Shock Troopers was the anime army game, right?
Yeah. Yes.
It was anime nom.
I think it's worse... I don't think it's worse than Strider. Strider doesn't control very well. It's prettier, but it's all flash. I think above Strider, below Shock Troopers. What do you guys think?
I can agree with that.
I like Shock Troopers more, slightly.
Okay, ugh. Now, last, we have another bad beat-em-up, Alien Storm.
Oh god, it's so mediocre. It's actually slightly less than mediocre.
It is too scattered.
It's got a little bit
of everything.
And none of it's good.
I mean, I'm surprised there's not a baking against the aliens segment.
I actually kind of wish there was a cook-off with the aliens, because it would have made it a lot more interesting.
Which one of us can make the best chili?
So worse than Streets of Rage, I pretty much think worse than Streets of Rage.
At least in Streets of Rage, when you called in the cops, they fired a missile and it was cool.
Worse than Comic Zone with its degenerating health?
I think so, because Comic Zone has flavor, if nothing else.
Okay, that's
I would agree with that assessment.
Alien Storm is so bland.
Worse than Double Dragon 2, The Revenge?
Yes.
GRASP.
Worse than Double Dragon? I kind of think so. Double Dragon has the level-up mechanics.
So I think Alien Storm is more mechanically sound, although...
I don't, honestly.
I feel like Double Dragon is a lot more interesting.
I feel as though Double Dragon's, upgrade mechanics, level-ups, much more
interesting. That helps a lot.
Granted, never actually played Double Dragon, but I've listened to you guys talk about it
sufficient
enough that I think I feel I was there.
Alien Storm at least tries to have different variety of things. They're all just bad.
Different varieties of the same thing. They're different colors. It's like playing WoW again. You have different colored spiders to delineate how powerful they are.
No, it actually gives you like a shooter section and like a side-scrolling shooter. Like, it does different stuff than just a beat-em-up. It's just all bad.
Right below Double Dragon is Fighting Street. Fighting Street isn't great, but at least it has a legacy, right?
Yeah, I don't know. Fighting Street was actively annoying. Alien Storm was just kind of boring.
I'd take annoying over boring, honestly, but maybe that's me.
I was bored and annoyed with Fighting Street, whereas with Alien Storm, I was just bored, kind of bored, yeah.
I'd have to give it to Alien Storm over Fighting Street.
Okay, Alien Storm.
So, Space Rape Harrier maintains its Rape crown.
Dragon. I mean, Space... We haven't played anything. Like, Mystic Quest is probably the forerunner, and I think Mystic Quest is better than Space Harrier.
Yeah. Well, and Baseball
on
the Game
Actually,
Boy.
Actually, I might not. I
think Mystic Quest is better than a lot of the games in our bottom 10. Honestly.
Baseball on the Game Boy gave it a really good run for its money.
Yeah, although...
It's the closest anything's gotten since Mortal Kombat.
I didn't think it would fall that far.
And then Super Empire Strikes Back is on here.
Oh, it
might be able to lightsaber duel Space Harrier.
Man, I forgot about that game.
Is it wrong that I'm looking forward to that?
to ranking it poorly?
Well, that will be next time.
Well, I mean the conversation
really?
About
yeah.
it.
Did we, do that 2 or 3 weeks ago?
Yeah, we only have two worth of this left.
Bring poppers, Man. Guys. I'll bring the whiskey.
To put in the poppers?
No, we pop the poppers, then we all take a shot.
All right, Captain Shot. What are we going to play next week?
All right, so I need to look this up because Jeremy forgot to tell me. Oh, wait, hang on. I already did that before we started recording. So we're going to go with a game that I think all three of us played in multiple formats. And because we're that kind of nerd, we're going to go ahead and we're going to play a card game digitally, as it's been remade. We're going to play Pokemon, the trading card game on the Game Boy.
Upsetting Jeremy's OCD because we're playing it before Pokemon.
Yes.
Yes and no, though, because Pokemon isn't on the Virtual Console.
Yeah, but there's Fire Red.
And Pokemon...
Oh, that's not on the Virtual Console either, is it?
No.
The Pokemon trading card game is kind of its own thing as opposed to the Pokemon games.
That is
they're
true.
Kind of, it's kind of like Mario Kart and Mario. They're kind of different franchises.
That's fair.
So next time on Last Time, you've activated my trap car. This has been a production of Last Time on Video Games. Copyright 2015. All the games, movies, and other media mentioned in the show are copyright their respective owners, in case that wasn't obvious. Past episodes, articles, and other information can be found at www.lasttimeonvideogames.com. If you'd like to contact us, send an email to ltovg@lasttimeonvideogames.com. If you'd like to find us on Twitter, we are @ltovg. We can also be found on iTunes. If you wanted to help us out, we would really appreciate if you left us a 5-star review. No extra lives were lost in the recording of this podcast.